We are holding on Chaf Amud Beis by the Mishnah, continuing on the topic of Kiyum Shtaris, continuing on the topic of where Edim are signed on a Shtar, and now we need to validate, verify those signatures. So the Mishnah says, and of course, this is all really a digression from the main topic of the Masechta. We got into it by talking about Hapesha Asr, Hapesha Hitter, where we had in the previous perek, we had a number of cases where a woman makes a claim, where the husband makes a claim of Tainas Besulim, the wife makes a counterclaim. And we said in many cases over there, Rabbi Yeshua doesn't believe her, but was saying that if there's a Pesha Asr, a Pesha Hitter, then he does believe her. In particular, we said at the beginning of the Perek, where there's Shor Shochot Lefanecha, where there's an actual claim, then Rabbi Yeshua might not believe her, but when there's no Shor Shochot, as in the first Mishnah of our Perek, then he would believe, for example, where Reuven says this field used to belong to your father, he says to Shimon, this field used to belong to your father and I bought it from him, then we believe him because Apesha also Apesha Hitter. So that led us into discussing about Edim who are signed on a Shtar, where if they're validating their own signatures but they say we were Ketanim or Anusim or what have you, then we say Apesha also Apesha Hitter. So now continuing on that topic, eventually we're going to get back to topics more directly related to Ksubis. We're going to talk about Apesha also Apesha Hitter as it applies to marriages. So the Mishnah says, if one aide says this signature is my, this is indeed my signature, it's not forged, the zek savyodi shochaveri, and he also says the other signature is indeed the signature of my chaver. So Reuven is saying, yes, I recognize this is my signature, and I also recognize that this is Shimon's signature. And Shimon says the same thing on his own. He says, I recognize my own, and I also recognize Reuven's. So then good, then we believe them, because after all, you have two Edim on each signature. But if each one only says about his own signature that I recognize it, then they have to add a third person together with them, who recognizes both signatures, because after all, you need two edim for every signature. Dibrei Rebbe, that's what Rebbe says. They don't need to combine together with somebody else. The Chum say, it's enough. A person can say, I recognize my own signature. You don't need two Edim for that. For reasons that we're going to discuss in the Gemara, what the underlying machloikas is. So the Gemara starts off, Kishatinsi Loimar, if you analyze carefully the underlying svaris of Rebbe and the Chachamim, Chetimsi Loimar, the word Timsi literally means like to squeeze out, Meloshin Mitzui. So if you squeeze out, so Rashi uses the expression, Chetamad Lasef Dvarav, if you get down to the bottom of what they're saying, other Rishonim learn that's related to the word Mitzui, which means squeezing out. So if you squeeze out and analyze as carefully as possible what they're each saying, then you'll come up with the following conclusion. L'divrei Rebbe, Al Ksav Yodin Hein Me'idim. According to Rebbe, fundamentally, the Eidos, when they come to Beis Din and they say, this is my signature, fundamentally what they're doing is they're saying Eidos about their own signatures. So they're not really testifying about their loan or whatever it is that's in the document itself, but rather they're testifying about their signatures. Well then, you need two Eidim for every signature. And Tosfos points out that would mean, even if they actually come and say, we're giving Eidos about the amount in the Shtar, still we consider it, Rebbe considers it, that they're saying Eidos fundamentally about the Ksav Yad, and vice versa, according to the Chachamim. Whereas if we analyze carefully what the Chachamim are saying, it comes out, fundamentally, their Eidos is about the money that's written in the Shtar. So that would explain why, according to Rebbe, you need two signature. Why you need two testimonies, two witnesses for every signature, because you need two edim in order to validate anything. So in order to say that this is the signature, then you need two edim, and the same thing for the other signature, you also need two edim. So according to him, it's true that there is a shtar over here, and fundamentally the shtar has an amount written in it, which we're saying that ultimately the person is bringing it to Beis Din not because he needs the signatures validated, really he's bringing it to Beis Din because he wants the amount in the shtar validated. But where Rebbe looks at it, that fundamentally their Eidos is about their Ksav Yad, is about their handwriting, about their signatures, and therefore the fact that there's a Monash B'Shtar, automatically, once the signatures are validated, then you have a Monash B'Shtar. Whereas the Chachamim take the opposite view. The Chachamim are saying the main edus is about the amount that's written in the shtar. So they're both saying about the money. Well, therefore, they don't need anything else. So according to the Chachamim, that's why you don't need a third aid to testify about anything else, because that's it. Each one is saying that I testify that Reuven lent Shimon a money. So that's good enough. We have two aidim for that. We don't care that there's only one aid for each signature. So Gemara says, Pshita, well, isn't that obvious? If we don't need to analyze it that deeply. It's very obvious that that's the Machalikus. And the Gemara answers, no. Otherwise, Mao de Tema, without the Gemara telling us that, you would have thought, L'Rebbe Sapuki Misapkale, maybe what it is Rebbe has a suffix, Yaksav Yadim Hemi Idim, Ayamana Shabashtar Hemi Idim. Maybe Rebbe is not sure what the fundamental address is on those signatures or on the mana. And therefore, so maybe because, just to be on the safe side, in case they're testifying about the Monash of Ashtar, is why, about the Ksav Yadin, rather, is why we need two Edim for each one. The Nafkamina, now what would be a Nafkamina, whether Rebbe considers it a Suffolk or a Vaday, would be Hecha de Mischad Minayu. What if one of those Edim that are signed on the Shtar died? Now what happens? So, you have Reuven, let's say, died, Shimon is still alive, he comes to Beis Din and testifies that this is indeed his signature. So now the question is, Liboi Shnai Min Ashuk L'Hoidolav. Well, do we need two Edim? Do we need to find two other Edim who can testify about Reuven's signature? Now that Reuven himself is not around to testify about it. So if we said, the problem is like this. We can't have that most of the money in the shtar is going to depend on, as the Gemara is going to say in another line, we can't have that most of the money in the shtar is going to depend on one aid. If we were going to allow, in a case like that, that Shimon could say, this is my signature, and also this is Reuven's signature, and then we only need one other aid to testify to Reuven's signature, then in effect what we have is that three-quarters of the money in the shtar is dependent on one person's aidus. You need to have that each one is testifying to half of it, and the two of them put together makes the whole thing. So we would say, if one of them died, Liboi Shnaim in Ashuk L'Hoidolav, do we need maybe two Edim from outside to go and be made on Reuven's signature? And maybe we would need that. So if you said, for sure Rebbe knows that they're testifying about the signatures, then that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what percentage of the signatures are being validated by what Edim. So then it would be fine to have Shimon testify about his own as well as about Reuven's, and then we only need one other aid to testify about Shimon's and about Reuven's combined. But on the other hand, if we say that Rebbe has a suffix, and maybe it is indeed Almona Shabashtar, then we might indeed need two Edim from the street to give Edus to Imkain, because otherwise, if we allowed Shimon to testify about his own signature, which would be a testimony about the Monash of Ashtar, as well as he's going to join together with another aid to validate Reuven's signature, it would come out Kanofik Nachi River de Mamona Apuma de Chad Sada. In effect, what you have is three quarters of the money in the Ashtar is going based on one aid, because if we said that Rebbe has a suffix, then we would say, when it comes to his own signature, we would say that we would accept his own edus on his own, because maybe we would say Almona Shabashtar who made. So then in that case, half the money is already dependent on his testimony, because you need two edim. So half of the edus is already dependent on him. Now you have, for the other signature, which controls the other half of the money, in effect, you're going to have that he, together with another aid, is testifying. So it comes out that three-quarters of what's needed in order to allow the Monash of Ashtar to be collected is dependent on one aid. And we can't do that, because after all, you have to have each aid is joining in equal measures to validate the Ashtar. So therefore, so we would say, Hocha l'chumra v'hocha l'chumra. So we would end up saying, according to Rebbe, that we have to be machmir in either direction. So therefore, so if both Edim are alive, then we need another aid to validate the two signatures. We can't say, like the Chachamim do in the Mishnah, that Neman Adam Loimel Zek Ksav Yadi, that we believe them to say this is my Ksav Yad. We would need another aid, just in case the fundamental aidus is about their signatures. And Rashi adds a point then if we say monash b'shtar, then you don't really need that extra aid. So because after all, each one by himself. If we say that if on the other hand one of them is dead, then we can't just have one of them validate it by himself and then validate his own signature by himself and then have him together with somebody else validate the other one, because again then three quarters of it depends on him. So therefore, so it would come out we'd have to do l'chumra in both cases. So we would always have to have so if they're both alive, we would need one extra aide to testify on both signatures, and if we have one of them is dead, then we would need two separate aidim to validate the signature of the dead aide. So therefore, so we would have thought that Kamash Malan. Therefore, the Gemara informed us that no, the Rebbe Mifshat Pshitalei. It's not that Rebbe has a suffix. Rebbe knows for a fact that Aksav Yadim and Meidim, and therefore Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra. Therefore, that applies whether there comes out a Kula from that or a Chumra. So it comes out Lekula. That Rebbe would in fact say that we're not worried about this business of three quarters of the money depending on one aid, because according to Rebbe, we're not fundamentally testifying about the money that's written in the shtar anyway. Fundamentally, we're testifying about signatures. Well, then good. The signatures, we don't care if we have, we don't care what percentage of the signatures are being validated by one aid versus another. Let's say hypothetically, if we had, for example, two aidim that are both coming and saying that this is Reuven's signature and this is Shimon's signature, no problem. We would accept that. So the same way, we have no problem if one of those Adim himself is Shimon, and he's testifying about his own, and he's testifying about the other guys. So therefore, so that's the point of saying that Rebbe knows that for sure, rather than considering it a suffix. And we know that the Amr of Yehuda Amar Rav. In fact, we know that Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rav, Shnayim achsun al ashtar meis echad mehen. If you have two people signed on a shtar and one of them died, then now let's look at the Chachamim's opinion. So now, according to the Chachamim, who say that almana shebashtar hein meidim, then we're back to the problem that we said before, that three quarters of the money is going to go on one aid. If we had the live aid was saying Eidos on his own signature as well as the other guys. Remember, the Chachamim in the Mishnah say that it's fine for them to be made each on their own signature. We don't need two Eidim for each signature, but they say that Neman Adam Loim Ksav Yodim Ksav Yodi, because fundamentally we don't care that there's only one aid on each signature. The fact is, it's not the signatures they're testifying on, it's mainly about the money. But the Chachamim would therefore say that if one of them died, and now one of them were to testify on his own, which then he's the equivalent of two Eidim for that, as well as he gives half the testimony for the other one, then you're back to the problem of three quarters of the money depending on him. Therefore, according to the Chachamim, Tzirichim Tshnayim Min Ashok L'Hoyed Olav. So in fact, according to the Chachamim, you would indeed need two people from the street to give Eidos on Reuven's signature. And Reuven, the dead aide's signature. So Bezu, Rebbe Lekula, V'Rabban and L'Chumra. Here's a case where Rebbe would be Mekel and the Chachamim would be Machmir, because Rebbe would allow the live aide to also say Eidos about the dead aide's signature, whereas the Chachamim are not going to allow that. And the Chachamim are going to say that you need two separate Eidim in order to do that. According to Rebbe, it would be quite enough to have Shimon, the live aide, together with one other aide, and they can testify together about Reuven's signature. So we see that there is a case where Rebbe is Mekel, and that shows that is why we needed to say that Rebbe's svara is that al ksav yodim hein meidim, and not that he has a suffix on that, but that he knows that for sure without question, and therefore he can even be Mekel when it comes to that. The Shittim Kubetzis understands Rashi to be saying that we're talking about strictly when the Edim don't remember the loan at all, they're just testifying about their signatures, that's when you have the Machlokes. If they actually remember the loan, then the Shittim Kubetzis learns in Rashi's Shitta that it would mean that that's good enough even according to Rebbe. On the other hand, Tosfos disagrees and says that no, Rebbe and the Chachamim are saying, Rebbe is saying across the board, we always assume Aksav Yadim Hem Edim, even if they say specifically otherwise, and according to the Chachamim, and we always say that Almana Shabashtar Hein Eden, even if they say otherwise. The Rambam also seems to hold more like Tosfos in that, because the Rambam says that, or maybe actually it could be that the Rambam holds more like, well, it could be either way. The Rambam writes that if the Edim, we talked about yesterday, we talked about in the previous shiur about if the Edim have completely forgotten the Edus and just they look in their diary and they find about it, then they can't necessarily say Edus on that unless they actually remember it, unless it jogs their memory and they actually remember it on their own. So the Rambam writes in a similar vein that if the Edim have completely forgotten, they have no memory that this person lent the other one, then even if they find it written down, even if there exists a shtar that has their signatures on it, nevertheless they can't collect with it, because fundamentally the purpose of the shtar is supposed to be to kind of jog their memories. But after all, the edus fundamentally has to be given from their own memory, and therefore if it's just a matter of that they're validating their signatures, then that's not good enough. So that would seem so the Rambam is writing, I mean the halacha is like the chachamim, so We could understand where the Rambam might be learning like Tosfos, that the Chachamim would say that across the board and Rebbe would disagree. Or we could say that maybe the Rambam holds like the Shita Mukubetzes' understanding of Rashi, that the Chachamim hold that way and Rebbe himself also agrees to that point. Okay. Anyway, so the Gemara asks, okay, what happens with Ilekat Trei? What if we can't find two Aiden to validate the dead Aid's signature? So what happens if, after all, according to the Chachamim, we can have Shimon testify about his own signature, but we can't also have him testify about Reuven's, because then you have that three-quarters of the money problem. So therefore, necessarily we have to have two other Edim to validate Reuven's signature. So what about the Ilekat Trei? What if you can't find two Edim that recognize Reuven's signature? El Echad, all you can find is one. Mai, then what can we do? How can we be Mekayim this Shtar, given that Reuven is dead? Amar Abaya, so Abaya says, here's what we can do. In that case, we don't want Shimon to actually come and give Edus on his own signature. Instead, we're going to need a different method of Kiyum for his own signature. Lichtiv Chasinus Yodea Chaspa, let him write his signature on a piece of earthenware. In those days, it was typical to use earthenware shards as things to write on, and sometimes they'd even write legal documents on it, which is why sometimes when the Gemara wants to say, for example, that a certain legal document is invalid and worthless, then the Gemara will use the expression, it's like a piece of earthenware. In other words, it's as if it was a blank shard of earthenware instead of one that actually has a document written on it. Anyway, so in this case, he can go and write his signature on a piece of earthenware, the shoddy later base Bevedina, and then give that and deposit that piece of earthenware in Beis Din. Umachazgule Beis Din v'chazule. So Beis Din will see. So now Beis Din, one of the methods of kiyum shtaris is that Beis Din, we said before, that Beis Din can have a signature of the aid on file, and then they can compare it and see whether the signatures match. And they can. We talked earlier. Tosfos had talked about a blot or two ago. The two possibilities. Maybe they actually need to compare them, or maybe they need to be assigned. Here we're talking about the comparison method. So they actually compare the two. They actually compare the one that they have on file with the one that was given to them. So now they have a sample of his signature. Now they have a sample of Shimon's signature. Now they don't need Shimon's edus to say that this is his signature. In fact, actually, the Ritva points out that actually he could also take a piece of parchment or a piece of paper or something and write something meaningless on it, and then the same thing. We don't Davka need his signature. So the point is though that he writes his signature. He writes something in his handwriting on a piece of earthenware or a piece of something and puts it in Beis Din. Beis Din will see it and they will be mechazik it, and they will see it and they'll be able to compare it, and then they can be mekayim that way. Now we don't need Shimon to testify about his own signature anymore because we have independent confirmation of his signature. Good. So now now Shimon, together with this other guy who recognized Reuven's signature, can now go and be made on Reuven's signature, and the Chachamim will have no problem with it, because now we don't have three quarters of the money depending on Shimon's edus. Now we have one half of it is depending on Beis Din validating Shimon's signature themselves by comparing it with another sample of his signature, and the other half is coming from Shimon together with this other guy testifying, and therefore we're good. It's half and half, the way it should be. But the Gemara points out, Davka Achaspa. Now, he should only write it on a piece of earthenware, Aval Amagiltaloi, but he should not write it on a piece of part, on a blank piece of parchment. Duma Mashkach Lo Inish Dloi Mali, because you might have a not Erlicha person might find that piece of parchment, which has a signature on it, V'chosav Alei Mai Deboi, and then he can write above it whatever he wants. He sees it. If nowadays also, you have, for example, if you sign, you have your signature on a blank piece of paper, somebody could go and forge a whole document above it, and then you have your signature at the bottom of it. And then he would be able to collect with it even without aiding, because after all, and that would work. Utnan, because after all, we learn in a Mishnah in Bava Basra. Hoitzi olav ksav yodeshu chayavloi. If one person takes out against somebody else, if Reuven has a document where Shimon says, I owe X amount of money, and it's written in Shimon's handwriting, so even though there's no edim on it, nevertheless, gozum in a chosim in a chorin. He's still able to collect with that shtar. He can't collect from the chosim of Shabodim, from property that Shimon sold to somebody else in the interim, because such a shtar has no coil, so we can't say that the buyers had any reason to think that there would be any problem with this field, that they should be wary about buying it, that there would be any kind of lien on it. But nevertheless, he can collect from Nechasim B'nei Chardin, from property that Shimon still owns at the time. So now the point is, I said wrongly before. I said before that usually that they sometimes used earthenware shards to write shtaris on. Actually, no. What we're seeing from this Gemara, what we're seeing from this point, is that Davka they wouldn't write shtaris on pieces of earthenware. And the reason is that Yitzhak explains because earthenware is too easy to forge. It's too easy to write something on it that you wouldn't be able to tell whether it was forged or not. Whereas when you write on parchment or on paper or something, it's easier to tell if something was erased and rewritten or something like that. So now, if you write your signature on a piece of earthenware, nobody can possibly write something above it and say, hey, here's a valid shtar, because a shtar on earthenware is going to be possible. So it's a good idea for him not to write on a Megillah, on a piece of parchment or something. On the other hand, again, the Ritva brings from the Yerushalmi that he could, instead of writing the signature, he could write something meaningless over there, and they'll recognize the handwriting that way, and that'll also work. Okay. So, who is the halacha like in our Mishnah? So, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, halacha kedivrei chachamim. The halacha is like the chachamim. We say, almona shebishtar heim edin, where they're not fundamentally giving edus about their signatures, they're fundamentally giving edus about the money that's written in the shtar. Therefore, we need to have, as we said before, that half of the money is based on one aid and half on the other. We can't have three quarters of it based on one aid. So, therefore, if one of them dies, then we can't have the live aid be made on his own signature as well as the other guy's. Because then we would have three quarters, then we have half of it, which is his own signature, and half of the other signature, which is another quarter, are all dependent on his edus. So Gemara says, Pshita, of course the halacha is like the Chachamim. Yochid v'rabim, halacha k'rabim. Don't we have a general rule that whenever you have a yochid versus rabim, the halacha is always like the rabim? So automatically we know if Rebbe and the Chachamim are arguing, then the halacha has to be like the Chachamim. And the answer is, Ma'u detema, without Rabbi Yehuda telling us, in the name of Shmuel, we would have thought, we have a general rule, halacha ke Rebbe mechaveroi, we have a general rule that the halacha is like Rebbe when he's arguing against one of the Chachamim, so we would think maybe even, v'afilu mechaverov, maybe that would apply even if he's arguing against the Rabbim. And therefore, Kamash Malan, therefore the Gemara needs to tell us that not so. That the halacha is not like Rebbe mechaverov, when he argues against the Chachamim, then it means the halacha is like them. Okay. So the Gemara says, so now the Gemara is going to bring a question on this, but the Gemara is going to bring several different versions of who it was that asked the question and who it was asked to. So the Gemara gives a simon for the names of the Chachamim. All three versions is that they all asked Rabbi Yehuda, but there's different versions who it is that asked Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, simon noch nod chad. This is a simon for, we're going to have Rav Chinnina bar Chia, which is a nun and a ches, and then we're going to have Rav Huna bar Yehuda, which is a hey and a dalid, and then we're going to have Rav Chia bar Yehuda, which is a ches and a dalid. Not always in these simonim, you don't always use the first letter of the name. Sometimes you use like the most strongly sounded letter of the name or something. Anyway, so we have three different versions. Amalot of Chinnina bar Chia l'Rav Yehuda. So one version is Rav Chinnina bar Chia asked Rav Yehuda. Va'amilot of Huna bar Yehuda l'Rav Yehuda. Va'amilot of Chia bar Yehuda l'Rav Yehuda. So three different versions of who it was that asked Rav Yehuda the question. Rav Yehuda, who had said that Shmuel had said that in this case the halacha is like the Chachamim. So one of these Chachamim asked him, "Miyam Shmuel Hachi? Did Shmuel really say that? That the halacha is like a Chachamim? V'ha ha'hu started the nafik nebedina d'mar Shmuel? Don't we have a case of a shtar that came out of the Beis Din of Mar Shmuel, which is the same Shmuel that we're talking about? Nafik nebedina means that, in other words, that the shtar had been brought into question, and then they had brought it to Shmuel's Beis Din for kiyum, for validation of the signatures. And v'ha'ba ksiv bei, and the loshen. Now, when you makayim a shtar, the dayanim will write on the shtar itself." Someplace on the shtar, or on the back of the shtar, or something, they'll write something to the effect: "This shtar was brought to us such and such based in, and we were makayim it, and then the dayanim sign it, or the edim who were makayim it sign it, whatever." Anyway. So this shtar had been validated, had been niskayim in Shmuel's based in. So, returning to the matter of the chaspa, of the earthenware versus parchment, Tosfos points out that actually there may be a machloikus about this point, whether we say, fundamentally, do we say edi mesira kauti or edi chasima kauti? When you have a get or any other document like that, which edim are the real important ones? The ones who are written on it, or the ones who see it being delivered? If we say edi mesira kauti, then it doesn't matter so much. Then indeed, maybe you could write a shtar on earthenware, and then of course you'd have to be careful if you're putting your signature on a piece of earthenware as well. And then Tosfos talks about maybe there are different kinds of shtaris in that regard. For example, a shtar that you're using to be for kinyan, then that kind you need to keep for a long amount of time. So maybe that kind would be kosher on earthenware. Anyway, the point is that now returning to this part of the Gemara. So this shtar was validated in Shmuel's and in Shmuel's based in v'havak ksivbe, and on the kiyum that was written on it, mid osir of onan barchia v'asid achasimas yodeh v'achad de'imeh. Since Rav Onan barchia, who was one of the edim on the shtar, he came and testified about his signature as well as the other aid who was with him. So, and Umanu, and the Gemara interjects, who was that second aid of Chonan bar Rabba, and Umid Osir of Chonan bar Rabba va'asid achsimas yedei va'achad de'ime, and Rav Chonan bar Rabba came and testified about his own signature as well as the one of the other aid who was with him, Umanu Rav Onan bar Chia, namely, and that is Rav Onan bar Chia. So now, in other words, so we have a case like in our Mishnah where each one testified about his own signature as well as the other one's signature. So exactly the case of our Mishnah. So now they wrote on the shtar Ashanui. So now we validated. So now we strengthen the shtar. Now we said that the shtar is strong and it's a valid shtar. V'kiyam nuhi, and we were makayim it. We said that it's definitely valid. Kitchazi, the way it's supposed to be. So we see. So now, the point is, why did they have to write that on the kiyum according to the Chachamim of our Mishnah? Adam made ksav yodi hilzeh. So therefore, according to the Chachamim, it would be enough for Shmuel to have written and said Rav Chonan bar Rabba gave edus about his signature, and Rav Onan bar Chia gave edus about his signature, and that's that. Why do they need to write that each one gave edus about the other one's signature as well? Doesn't that show that Shmuel holds the halacha as like Rebbe? And the answer is Amalei. So Rabbi Yehuda answers whichever one of the three Amoraim asked them the question. Hahu shtarah diyasmihava. The difference is that was a shtar that was of Yisoimim. So their father had lent money to somebody, and then he passed away. Now the Yisoimim are trying to use the shtar to collect. V'chosh Shmuel based in Toyin. So it's not that Shmuel holds like Rebbe. Shmuel was concerned that in the future there might be a based in who gets a hold of the shtar and makes a mistake. It could be that there'll be a future based in that's going to get a hold of the shtar, and they say it's true that usually the halacha is like Rebbe only when he's against the yachid, but not when he's against the rabbin. But uvaha filo mechaveiro. But they might mistakenly think that in this particular case, maybe even the halacha would be like Rebbe against his chaverim. So therefore, they're going to think that if we only write that Rav Onan bar Chia validated his signature, and Rav Chonan bar Rabba validated his signature, so a future based in might mistakenly think the halacha is like Rebbe and say the shtar is no good. So therefore Shmuel figured, Eved Rav Chakiyechid Ale Mafsidi Yasmi. Let me better make it as smooth as possible, the best way possible, this way that Yisraelim don't lose out. Let me make it, it's true, the halacha is not like Rebbe, nevertheless, I'm going to write the kiyum of the shtar as if the halacha was like Rebbe, in order that a future based in shouldn't find any reason to pass all the shtar, because you always have to look out for the best interests of the Yisraelim. Okay. The Gemara continues on another topic, another discussion about this matter of Kiyum Shtaris. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Eid V'Dayan Mitztarfin. That an Eid and a Dayan together can combine together to say that the shtar is good. Meaning, Rashi says, let's say, so you have a shtar that has a kiyum on it. Another word for kiyum, by the way, is henpik, and then Rashi uses that word over here. So if you have a shtar that has a henpik written in it, so the dayanim are signed on it. Later on, the malva takes the shtar, he wants to collect with it, and the loiva says it's forged, so one of the edim of the shtar comes and testifies about his ksavyad, one of the dayanim testifies about his ksavyad. So then they can combine together, and therefore the shtar is good. So Omar Rami Bachama Kama Malia Hoshmaita. Rami Bachama was very impressed by that. He said, "What? How wonderful is this teaching? It's a very good, very sensible thing." Omar Rava, but Rava says, "My Mal Yusa, what makes you think it's so great about it? It's not necessarily so great. We can shrug it up. After all, my dekamasid sada lo kamasid dayana. After all, what the aid is testifying about is not the same thing as what the dayan is testifying about. Because after all, when you get down to it, the aid is testifying, as we said before, the opinion of the chachamim. The aid is testifying about the monash of ashtar. Meanwhile, what is the dayan testifying about? He's not fundamentally testifying about the monash of ashtar. He's testifying this." Shtar was brought to me, and we validated the signatures. So therefore, so omay de komasid dayon olay komasid sada, and vice versa. What the dayan is giving edrusan about the kiyum is not the same thing the edrus is giving edrus about. So how can you combine them together? So rather, the Gemara says, Ela ki osi Rami bar Yechezkel Omar. So rather, you should know, when Rami bar Yechezkel came from Eretz Yisrael, and he is Rabbi Yehuda's brother, Rabbi Yehuda, plain Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora in Shas, is Rabbi Yehuda bar Yechezkel. So this is his brother Rami bar Yechezkel. So when he came from Eretz Yisrael and heard what Rabbi Yehuda had said, Omar, he says, Loi tetzitzinu lahani kloli dekayo Yehuda ochi mishmei deshmul. Don't pay attention to these rules that my brother Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel. In other words, no, he said in the name of Shmuel, but it's not necessarily valid. No, as a matter of fact, it's not valid, and the aid and the dayan can't combine together for the reason that Rava objected. They're giving aiders about two different things. An interesting point, by the way, Tosfos points out. I mean, on the face of it, once you have a kiyum, how can we even have a possibility of anybody saying that maybe they forged the dayanim signatures? Nevertheless, Tosfos says the fact is that maybe we would say that even if there's a kiyum, there's still always the possibility of the loiva claiming that the kiyum itself was forged, and therefore we need edus on that. Anyway, so that's it. So Rami Bar Yechezkel says, don't pay attention to what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, to what my brother Rabbi Yehuda is saying. In fact, the halacha is that we can't say aid v'dayin mitztarfin. So the Gemara continues in this vein. Ikla Rabbi Nori achud Rav Chiya bar Abba lemizban shum shami. One time, Rabbi Nori, the brother of Rav Chiya bar Abba, came to a certain place to buy sesame seeds. But Omar, and while he was there, with a chachamim, always, even when they're engaged in their business, they're always, their real business is learning and teaching Torah. So they're always teaching and saying statements in halacha as well. So he says, "V'omer hachi Amar Shmuel eid v'dayin mitztarfin." So he also reports that Shmuel said eid v'dayin mitztarfin. And again, Omer Amemer kama malya hoshmaita. And again, Amemer says, "How wonderful is this teaching?" And Omer le Rav Ashi l'Amemer. And again, Rav Ashi says to Amemer, "You have the same objection about it that Rava said." But he adds another detail: "Mishum de kal savur de imach." Just because your grandfather praised it. Rami Bachama was Amema's grandfather. So just because your grandfather praised it, you're also going to praise it. Kvar pocha Rava. Rava already shlugged it up. And there's no way that you can say that, there's no way that you can accept this halacha of Eid Nasadayin. Rather, we have to accept what Rami Bar Yechezkel said, that we don't accept that rule. Rashi points out that, there was a girsa that Rashi had in front of him Here we have the word at the top of the Amud is Ikla, which means it's a new statement. We have Rami Bar Yechezkel said, don't pay any attention to the rules that Rav Yehuda said. The halacha is that Eid and Dayan are not mitzdarfin. And then the Gemara tells another story in this connection, which also bears out this point that we don't say Eid v'Dayan mitzdarfin. So Rashi had a girsa in front of him, Di Ikla, which means that it's a continuation of what Rami Bar Yechezkel, Rav Yehuda's brother, is saying. He's saying, don't pay any attention to Rav Yehuda's rules, because I can show you it was slugged up by Rav Ashi. Tosfos says we can't, not Tosfos, Rashi says we can't say that, because Rav Ashi is generations later. When Rav Yehuda, the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin, on the day that Rav Yehuda passed away, Rava was born. On the day that Rava passed away, Rav Ashi was born. So, okay, even if we say it doesn't mean literally on the day they were born, nevertheless, the point is that Rav Ashi is quite some time later than Rav Yehuda, so there's no way that Rami Bar Yechezkel, Rav Yehuda's brother, is going to be bringing a proof from... is going to be bringing a proof from a story involving Rav Noi and Rav Ashi and Amemar, because they lived generations later. On the other hand, the Tosfos Rid on the side over here finds does have the girsa, he does have the girsa de Ikla, and he says that actually Rav Noi is saying that Rav Yehuda had said in the name of Shmuel that he just says that Rav Noi says that Shmuel had said Eid v'Dayan ein mitzdarfin, and therefore so that's it. So Rami Bar Yechezkel is saying you should know, don't pay any attention to what Rav Yehuda is saying. You should know Rav Noi came one time and said, and then said that Shmuel said Eid v'Dayan ein mitzdarfin. Then the Gemara begins with a new story where generations later Amema says how wonderful is the statement Eid v'Dayan mitzdarfin. The original statement, Eid v'Dayan mitzdarfin, and Rav Ashi says, how could you say that? Rava already slugged it up, and we have to accept Rav Noi's version. So according to that, it could work with the Girsa De'ikla, that it's all a continuation of what Rami Bar Yechezkel says. And in fact, the Sefer Doros that is showing him likes that Girsa as well, where even though Rashi doesn't like it, but he says, the fact is, throughout Shas, you have a few places where Rami Bar Yechezkel uses an expression like that. When Rav Yehuda says something, then Rami Bar Yechezkel sometimes says, don't pay any attention to what my brother Yehuda is saying, and then he goes on to show why not. Whereas over here, if we went according to Rashi's Girsa, he's not showing why not, he's just saying a fact, don't pay any attention to him, but not bring any proof to it. Whereas according to the Tosfos Rid's Girsa, he's actually bringing a proof to it, namely that Rabbi Noi said the other way around, that Shmuel had said Ein V'Dayan Ein Mitzdarfin. Okay. Anyway, continuing on the topic of Kiyum Shtaris, Omer of Safra, Omer of Abba, Omer of Yitzchak, Vashmuel, Bamarta, Omer of Huna, Va'amrila, Omer of Huna, Omer Rav, if three Dayanim sat down to be Mekayim Ashtar, two of them, let's say, recognize the signatures of the Edim, and one does not. So how do we do it then? We need a basin of three to be Mekayim. So Ad Shaloi Chosmu, so before the other two Dayanim sign on the Kiyum, Me'idin Heim Befanav, those two Dayanim themselves can testify in his presence that these are the valid signatures, the choisim, and then he's able to sign with them on the kiyum. In other words, in effect, this is an example. We say that Eid Nasa Dayan. When it comes to things Dirabbanan, the Gemara is going to talk out further down on the Amud, that when it comes to things Dirabbanan, we can say Eid Nasa Dayan, that an Eid can become a Dayan. So here, they can transition for a moment from being Dayanim to being Edim and get up and testify and then sit back down and become Dayanim again and write the Kiyum and write and sign the Kiyum on the Shtar. In fact, the Rashba points out that actually at the moment they're saying the Edrus, in effect they're acting as both Edim and Dayanim, because after all, you need a base of three to hear the Edrus as well. So they can do that before they write the Kiyum. And then good, he can sign with them. But after they sign the kiyum, in the edim in front of a choisim, then they can no longer give edus in front of him in order to sign it, because that's no good. Because in the kiyum, you write that we were sitting as a base din of three, and then they checked it out, and here only two of them knew about it. So therefore, they're writing something. They're writing a falsehood. The Gemara asked, "So Mikasvinan, how could you write the?" So we're talking about the signatures. Then it sounds like they can write the kiyum, and then just before they sign it, they have to testify in front of him. So the question is, Mikasvinan, how can they write the words of the kiyum, the wording like we had on Amud Aleph, where they say, because this aid came and said such and such, and that aid came and said such and such, therefore we are validating the shtar. How can they even write that nusach before the edus was given in front of the third dayan? Rava, Hay a shouted Zayoni, the Nichtam, the Kameh, the Nevu Sad, the Nechavu Sadi, Achsimasidahu, if they write the Kiyum, a shouted is another word for a Kiyum, it means literally to strengthen. So if the Dayonim write their Kiyum before the Edim testify about their signatures, Psula, then that Kiyum is possible, even though the Dayonim only sign later on. The Mischazik is Shikra, because after all, it looks like a lie. Because when they're writing it, they're writing, we heard testimony that these signatures are valid, but they didn't hear the testimony yet. So it's possible. So Hochanami Mischazik is Shikra. Don't you have the same problem over here? Even if two of the Dayonim recognize the signatures and the third one doesn't, and therefore we need to testify in front of that third one, then also it sounds like we're writing a lie. So you're right, the Gemara says, Ela Ema, actually, Kosvu Me'idin B'chosim, Mishkosvu En Me'idin B'fana B'chosim. You're right, we have to correct the wording. Before they write the Kiyum, then they have to testify in front of the third Dayan, and then that works because as the Gemara is going to say soon, Eid Nasa Dayan, and then they can write the Kiyum, and then they can sign it. But if they write it first, and then they testify in front of him, then yeah, it's going to be possible because they wrote it at a time when it looks like a lie. Okay. Tosfos discusses in some detail over here the ins and outs. Is that in fact the halacha? Further on in the Masechta, there's something that seems to be saying that the halacha is not like Rav Papi in that regard. So Tosfos discusses the ins and outs of when we would say Mechzik Shikra and when not. Okay. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Shema Min Atlas. From this set of Huna is saying, this din about that the two Dayanim recognize the signatures and the third one doesn't, and therefore they testify in front of him, we can learn three dinim from what he says. Number one, Shema Min Aid Nasa Dayan. Number one, we see that an aid can become a Dayan, because that's what they're doing. They're standing up and giving Aedrus, and then sitting back down and becoming Dayanim. That's number one. Number two, Ushmamin or Dayanim Akirin Chasimas Idei Edim Enen Srichin Lahoyed Bifneim. The Dayanim who recognize the signatures of the Edim can do it just based on the fact that they recognize. They don't actually have to have the Edim of the Shtar or other Edim come and testify in front of them, because we're seeing that the two Dayanim themselves recognize the signatures and they can write the Kiyum on that basis. That is one of the five ways of doing Kiyum, is that the Dayanim themselves recognize the signatures. Or Shmamina, and the third din we can learn, Dayanim Shein Makirin Chasimas Yidei Edim, if one or more of the Dayanim do not recognize the signatures, Tzrichin Lahoyed Bifnei Kol Echad V'Echad, the Edim have to actually give Edus in front of each one of the individual Dayanim. It's not enough to give Edus in front of two of the Dayanim, and then the third Dayan can join in even though he didn't hear the Edus. All three of them have to be present when the Edus is given, because that's what we're saying over here. Two of them stand up, and okay, as the Rashba was saying, they function at that moment as both Edim and Dayanim, but after that we need the three of them to say, after that we need altogether that the three of them know the Eidos at the time they write the Kiyum. And really, the Ritva points out, you would have thought otherwise, because after all, why really do you need three Dayanim anyway? The real reason why you need an odd number of Dayanim always is in case they're deadlocked, so you can always have an extra opinion, so this way you never end up with a tie. But something like this, you don't necessarily, on the face of it, you don't necessarily need three. The only reason to have three over here by something like that, where there's no argument possible, would only be, he goes on to say, because in order to know for sure that they're Dayanim, if we only had two, you would think that they're functioning as Edim. But still, maybe it's enough that there's three sitting over there. They don't all three have to hear the Edus, so therefore, no, the Gemara is telling us they all have to hear it. So that's the third, that's the Chiddush, that's the third thing we learn from Rav Huna's statement. So he wasn't masking for Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi says, well, let's analyze those three dinim and see if we can accept all of those. Bishlema Eid, or if we can derive all of those from what Rav Huna said. Bishlema Eid Nasa Dayan, the first din you're saying that an Eid can become a Dayan. Shamin and Minah, okay, we can clearly learn that from that halacha, from this halacha, because that's exactly what they're doing. They're starting out as Eidim, and then they become Dayanim. But you're telling me that if the Dayanim recognize the signatures, other Edim don't have to come and testify in front of them. How can you derive that from what Rav Huna is saying? Maybe in fact they do have to hear Edus from other people. Normally, in other words, you would say that So Tosfos discusses over here a little bit that, usually we say, usually seeing something is greater than hearing it, but over here, the fact is we want it to be like a based in, so therefore we could argue that maybe you need Eidos in front of him. So Rav Ashi is saying, maybe in fact you do usually need Eidos. V'shayni hocha, d'kama kaima ha-gadah b'chad. The fact of the matter is that they have, two of them are saying Eidos in front of the one. So, but in other words, if all three of them knew that, if all three of them recognized the signatures, maybe that wouldn't be good enough. Maybe we actually need Eidos that the Dayanim are going to hear. Even though we would say Loite Shmi Gdol Maria. But again, like Tosfos is saying, maybe the fact is that a Beis Din is not really a Beis Din without hearing Eidos on the face of it. So therefore, we should require some hearing of Eidos. So Mela, if one of them doesn't know and two of them are testifying in front of him, good. Then we have Eidos, and then they go on and do it. But if there's no Eidos at all, if all three of them recognize the signatures in the first place, maybe in fact Rav Huna would hold, and then maybe we should hold, that you in fact need two other Edim to come. And Rav Ashi asks on the third din as well, you're telling me that if the Dayanim don't recognize the signatures, then they have to hear individually, then all of the Dayanim have to hear from each of the Edim. Why? Maybe in fact I can tell you they don't really need, each of the Dayanim does not have to hear. Again, the flip side of the previous question, that if you don't have the two Dayanim stand up as Edim, then you don't have any Hagodas Edus, you don't have any actual testimony going on here at all. So maybe in that case, we need to tell him. But maybe in fact, you could argue on the contrary, that maybe if none of them recognize the signatures, and we needed other Edim to come and testify, maybe it would be good enough if they testify in front of two of the Dayanim, and the third Dayan will then join with them. So you can't necessarily prove these all three of these dinim from what Rav Huna is saying.
As far as Eid Nasa Dayan, the Gemara is going to discuss now when we say that and when we don't say that. As far as the second din, that Einan Srichim Lahoyed B'fneihem, that we accept, because we say the Dayanim themselves can recognize the signatures and that's good enough. But Srichim Lahoyed B'fneih Kolachad V'achad, maybe we accept Rav Ashi's point that if other Eidim came and said the Eidus in front of them, then they don't in fact need to say it individually to each of the Dayanim. It would be good enough if two of them hear it from the Eidim and then the third one can join with them. Okay. So now let's talk about this Eid Nasa Dayan business. The Gemara says, Yosef Rav Abba Ka'amala L'Hashmaita. Rav Abba was sitting and saying over this halacha, the Eid Nasa Dayan, this business about that we said that Eid Nasa Dayan, and even Rav Ashi is willing to accept that Rav Huna is in fact implying that in his din. So the Gemara says, Eisver Rav Safra L'Rav Abba. Well, Rav Safra asked a question to Rav Abba based on a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. So the Mishnah tells us that usually you have Edim coming to Beis Din and testifying that they saw the new moon. But the Mishnah describes over there, Ra'uhu Shloisha V'hein Beis Din. What happens if three members of the Beis Din themselves, three members of the Sanhedrin themselves saw the new moon? They still need Eidos. And the reason they need Eidos, actually, the Gemara explains there in Rosh Hashanah. Now the Gemara asks the point that the Tosfos says over here that... we would say how can hearing it from other Edim be greater than they themselves seeing it? And the Gemara explains in Rosh Hashanah that in fact if they saw it during the day, and it could barely happen, they could barely manage to see it before Shkia on the 29th sometimes, the Rambam describes such a case, then you're right, then they can just be Mekadosh it right away based on their seeing. But we're talking about where they saw it at night, and since at night you can't judge cases at night, and you can't be Mekadosh the Chodesh at night, therefore in the morning they need Eidos. So therefore the Mishnah describes, Yamdu Shnayim, two of them stand up to be Edim, V'yeshivu Mechavreim Eitzal HaYochid, they have to have two other members of the Sanhedrin sit together with the one. So three members of the Sanhedrin, Reuben, Shimon, and Levi, all saw it. So now, the next morning, Reuben and Shimon are going to be the Edim. Levi is going to sit there as one of the Dayanim. But you can't be Mekadosh L'Chodesh with only one Dayan. You need a minimum of three Dayanim, as the Gemara discusses in Rosh Hashanah over there why that is. Because the Pasuk implies that it's given over to Moshe and Aaron. And Moshe and Aaron themselves will make an even numbered Beis Din. And you can never have an even numbered Beis Din. Because again, like we said before, they might end up in a tie. And if we need a third one, the point being, in other words, we learn that Kiddush HaChodesh requires at least three Dayanim. So therefore, so together with Levi, Levi, they'll have two of the other members of the Sanhedrin, Yehuda and Yisachar, will sit over there. And then the Ya'idu b'fnehem, then the two that got up, Reuben and Shimon, will say Eidus, v'yomu mekodesh ha'chodesh mekodesh, and then the three Dayanim who are sitting over there will say mekodesh ha'chodesh, will say the month is sanctified and today is Rosh Chodesh. The point is, that the point is, the Mishnah says, she'ein ha'yochad ne'eman al yedei atzmo, because we can't accept, we can't believe, we can't trust a yochid to be mekodesh the chodesh himself, as the Gemara explains over there that you need at least three. The point is that so Rav Safra asks, the Yisak Daibach, the aid nasa dayan. If you're going to tell me that an aid can become a dayan, lomale kulahai, then why do we need to go to such an extent? All we need is those three together can sit back down in their places in the Mekadesh. In other words, two of them, Reuven and Shimon, will get up, they will testify, and then they'll sit back down, and they'll be the Beis Din. So again, Eid Nasa Dayan, that would be exactly the case, as we said before, that they're getting up and saying, we recognize these signatures, and then they sit down and they write down the Kiyum. So why can't we do the same thing over there? So you see that Eid is not Nasa Dayan. And the answer is Amale. So Rav Abba says, after the Di Kashali, I have the same question. Ushilti le Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta. So I asked Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta, Rav Yitzchak le Rav Huna, and Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta in turn asked Rav Huna, Rav Huna le Chiyah bar Rav, Chiyah bar Rav le Rav. So it went through a chain of Talmidim. I guess what it is that Rav Abba didn't feel himself qualified enough to ask the top-level Talmidim, so therefore he asked the next Talmud ahead of him, and it went down the chain until it got to Rav. And Rav answered, leave alone Eidus HaChodesh, that's a special case, because Daraisa. When it comes to things Daraisa, we can't say Eid Nasa Dayan. There you have Xeris HaKosov, that since the Pasuk says that you need to have Edim standing Lifnei Hashem, meaning in front of the Dayanim, so therefore the Edim have to stand in front of the Dayanim and not that the Edim themselves become the Dayanim. That's how the Rashbam explains where this Gemara is brought in Baba Basra, and he explains that over there. So that's Dirabonon, that's in something Daraisa. But the Kiyum Shtoris Dirabonon, whereas the whole concept of Kiyum Shtoris is Dirabonon, because on a Daraisa level we would say that when Edim are signed on a Shtar, then it's the equivalent of them already having been investigated in Beis Din. We said the other day, Edim Aksum al Shtar, Nasa Kamishan Necher Edus in the Beis Din. So on a Daraisa level there's no need for Kiyum Shtoris. So when it comes to things Dirabonon, then we can say Ed Nasa Dayan. Tosfos points out another possible reason as well why you might say Ein Eid Nasa Dayan is because you need Eidus Shata Yochel LaHazima. You need the Eidus to be something that conceivably could be subject to Hazama, where other Eidim can say Imanu HaYisim, but if the Eidim themselves become Dayanim, then they're not going to accept the Eidus. On the other hand, Tosfos says maybe not, because after all they could always go to another Beis Din and do Hazama over there, so therefore that reason doesn't really work. Tosfos also adds, by the way, that in Dini Nefoshes, at least in Dini Mominus, when we say that in Daraisa thing, Ein Eid Nasa Dayan, but you could have somebody who potentially could have been an aid and just in practice is not coming to testify. When it comes to Dini Nefoshes, you don't even have that. Even if you have an aid is not needed, then still, at least the point of Akiva and Gemara and Makkos over there says that he can't become a Dayan. Because once he saw it, when a person sees something, it has a very powerful full effect on them, then we say they're not going to be able to entertain in their mind any reason to exonerate the guy. And when it comes to Dini Nefoshes, we need to always have that ability. It talks about all over the place in Chassidus, this idea of that when a person sees something, that has the most powerful impact on him, and therefore we talk about, for example, the Jewish people saw El Akurs by Kriyas Yam Suf and saw it by Matan Torah after Hares of Adas, meaning in other words that it became much more real to them than anything else that we hear. Places in Siddhis where it talks about Reuven versus Shimon. Reuven is Ra Hashem Ba'on Yid, Shimon is Shama Hashem Kisnua Anoichi, so therefore Reuven represents Re'ia, which is a closer level of connection and identification with other course, and Shimon represents a lesser level of only Shmia. But you have this general idea that when a person has seen something, then you can't really get them to think otherwise, because they saw it with their own two eyes, and there's nothing more real to a person than that. Okay, so we'll continue in the next year talking about more dinim of kiyum shtaris, and then we'll eventually get back to cases involving a husband and wife and hapesha asa hapesha hetu.